Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, the team's had such a great year. You don't really want to ruffle any feathers. You just kind of want to fit in and help wherever you can. So it's been a bit of a crazy morning for me. Strange last few weeks in New York, but you know, it's I moved on. I'm excited for this opportunity and, you know, excited to be a Bruin.
I'm healthy. I've been healthy since May? Since I got back from the DL. I've been healthy. I felt great. And, you know, I've been ready to go since I've gotten back.
Ah, yes, the old Bruins Red Sox Open. Do those all the time. Rick Nash. J.D. Martinez, a couple of newcomers in the last 24 hours. Hardy in for Zoe as Zoe continues his vacation. Cattle's on the headlines today. You'll be hearing from him.
Hi, Hardy. How are you?
Really, really good.
Doing well?
Odd to come in and have this much to talk about. Not so much at the Bruins trade deadline, but I was so used to the Red Sox not doing anything. Now that the Red Sox have done something, and the Bruins actually did something too, I'm a little unsettled by it. I'm kind of thrown off by it.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of movement.
Yeah.
A lot of movement.
You know what I liked best as I kind of prematurely. Well, we're not necessarily starting with Nash. But the thing that I like best out of all of it, this is the truth, was the comment from Don Sweeney where he said, "I thought the team deserved it." I thought that was
beautiful.
That might be cliche, might be something that gets said a lot.
Might be truthful.
Don't hear it a lot. You know who else deserves it? Bruce Cassidy. I think the team and Bruce Cassidy deserved that move. And I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it's... an amazing... No, they won. The team got better as a result of it. And I'm glad that they're, I guess, rewarding the way this team has played going back for about a year now.
How long have we been complaining about the Bruins needing to go out and, hey, they should really add a top six forward at the deadline?
Yeah.
How many years have we done that routine?
Not only is it something that we've been asking for, but they desperately need it. And they need somebody with the size and the physicality and the presence that Nash brings to one of those top forward lines, especially in the postseason when everything is a battle, every loose puck, all the stuff in front of the net, all the stuff down in the corners, he can play either wing. I think it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous thing for this team to have that type of presence, not only for the rest of this season but going forward. And just the type of thing you need when we sit here and talk about how peaking too soon in the NHL is real and how you have to guard against it. What can you do? You get an infusion of a top six forward? Yeah. Okay. Good. It might help you get over the hump and if you do start to plateau a little bit. I'm really impressed with the move.
All right. So that's rather positive. I'd like to approach it from the other side, which is what's the thing that annoys you most in the last 24 hours? Mine is Bruins related.
Oh, is it?
And it's not the team, and it's not Don Sweeney. It's the fans who are bitching about the Rick Nash overpayment.
Oh, please.
Cry me a river. Which part of the Rick Nash package that was sent are you really going to miss? Tell me, which part?
Well, you know, Ryan Spooner had two assists yesterday already. He's showing
that. I almost want to give a crap. Almost.
2 points.
I also want to ask this question. Who goes out at the deadline when they're a good team in any league? This applies to any league.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly NBA, baseball for sure, and the NHL. Because the NFL trade deadline is not really that active of a thing. Who goes out, gets a rental at the deadline as a championship contender, planning to contend for it all, and gets a bargain on a good player as a rental? Who's ever gotten a great deal? Yes, the prices are steep at the deadline. Prices at the deadline are typically steep. When you're a good team and you're dealing from a position of strength, which I believe the Bruins are because Don Sweeney has set them up with good draft picks and has drafted well, and we're seeing young talent on the roster that's producing already, when you are dealing from that strength, guess what? You can go do a deal like this. The Bruins got better. and there are still people complaining about it.
They got better.
That is what annoys me the most. The people that are going to bitch about an overpayment at the deadline. Yes, it's expensive to go shopping at the deadline, but your team got better.
And not
how
only,
do you not like that?
And Beetle, they didn't have to mortgage their future. They didn't have to sell off. Who are the players that got talked about, the ones that people were hesitant on?
Oh, you're talking about Carlo or DeBrusque or Danton Heinen or all the young
Anders
guys.
Bjork,
right.
DeBrusque. All those guys are still here.
Yep.
So what's the problem?
You lost Ryan freaking Spooner. And what? You're going to cry over the pick? You're going to cry over the Lindgren? You're
well, don't
cry
forget
over
about
this?
Bolesky.
Oh, what a gift that is, too. I know that there's salary retention to 50%.
Here's the thing with this team. The way they've played, I don't hate anybody on that team or that was on that team a week ago. I didn't despise anybody. And I don't think anybody incurred the wrath that a player like Dennis Weidman did in the past, who, by the way, wasn't even as bad as people wanted him to be. You just focused in on him, like the way you do an offensive lineman when you're convinced he's being treated like a turnstile in a game. It's like, oh, there he goes. Someone got past him again. And we started looking at Weidman that way and other players throughout the years. But there was nobody on that team that I actively hated, that I was hate-watching to see when they were going to screw up next. Now, having said that, out of the people that you're going to miss, or that you potentially could have been having to trade away in order to get a player like Rick Nash, Matt Bolesky, Ryan Spooner, I'm okay with it. I'm more than okay with it.
Totally okay with the deal. I'm totally okay with it. Good for the Bruins. Good for Don Sweeney. Good for going out and doing something here right before the deadline. That's made his team better. And you know what? I think it's debatable as to how much Nash is really going to change them or how much he's going to help. I don't think he's having the best of years. That's fine. You want to debate how much of an improvement it is, then we can do that.
Yep.
But stop crying about the overpayment. Stop crying about that. The team got better. We can all admit that. Rick Nash on your roster as opposed to Ryan Spooner, that's a win, everybody. Win. And the GM went out and thought, this team is worth going for it all with. You don't get excited by that? You don't get excited about the prospects of this team going forward and what the front office believes they can do with this team? Loved it. Loved it, Artie. Love Rick Nash being a Bruin.
Love it. Love it.
So
it's going to make a difference. Here's why I love it. It's going to make a difference. It's not one of these moves where you can say, yeah, I might be able to see something here or there. To me, that's like David Backes. Yeah, I like David Backes. He's a good addition. Was it a difference maker when David Backes joined the team? Not to the extent it's going to be with Nash here. That's
really
a difference maker.
Okay. All right. Let's talk more about that. 617-779-0985. And also, we're going to get into J.D. Martinez, who just held his press conference. You heard a clip of him. That happened about an hour ago now down at Fort Myers. He's in camp. He's ready to go. He's officially signed. And he's saying that all the things David Price told Bob Nightingale in USA Today that he had told J.D. Martinez. Guess what? J.D. Martinez says, nah, he never really told me any of those things. So there's that to deal with, among other things. Nobody's willing to say what the injury was that held up the deal. It's been reported as a foot. We'll get to all of this with your calls coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
J.D., what's your expectation, understanding of the Boston market? Do you look forward to the scrutiny? Was that something you researched and talked about with players? I think David Price said he talked to you at one point.
Me and David never really talked about that exactly. We kind of just talk about the fans and, you know, how kind of exciting it is to play there. David's always spoken, very well of, very highly of the Red Sox and especially, the fan base and pitching in that ballpark and how fun it is to go out there every day and play every day. So that's kind of, with talking to Alex and stuff like that about going out there every day. And it's almost like, football has Monday night. They say in Fenway, it's every night's like Monday night football out there.
Easy, JD. Don't give them any ideas. That'll be the next thing that they're trying to book over there at Fenway Park, a Monday night football game. Every night is like Monday night football when you're playing baseball at Fenway Park. Let me tell you, there are very few. Now, Monday night football pretty much sucks now anyway. Used to be a big deal. There are very few baseball games that match the intensity of a football game. Very few.
You don't say.
You've got to be in October. You have to be in October to have that be the case. But that's J.D. Martinez, newest member of the Boston Red Sox, who this morning denied that David Price had told him that he'd get booed at Fenway Park by the fans. Denied it in his press conference and then took it to the next step on EEI this morning, saying, nope, no, he never told me that. Here is the quote from the Nightingale article. Oh, yeah, he'll get booed, Price laughs. I told J.D. he will love the guys here in this clubhouse, but I also told him he'll get booed. Price also said at the time, he's a quiet, soft-spoken guy, but he'll handle it. The quiet, soft-spoken thing is true. I worry for this kid. I do. He sounds like a kid, J.D. Martinez, from listening to him today. I'm not sure he fully understands what the hell he's getting himself into here.
I mean, me and David never really talked about that exactly.
A little bit of Roseman there in him as well. I mean,
yeah, I never asked about his dog either. I don't know what that was. He says I ask about Astro. Never, I really have.
So who's lying? Was it Price trying to troll everybody, or is this Martinez?
That's probably Price being full of crap again. I'm not gonna accuse J.D. Martinez of being a liar out of the gate. I've got no reason to think he does that. So that's what you had this morning. And what was the biggest story in all of this was that there's now another opt-out in this deal. There are now opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4 of this contract for J.D. Martinez. So the only year in the deal that he can opt out is after season 1. That's it. That's the one off season in the deal that he can't opt out in. He can't opt out after 1 year, but after that, every year
he's got
a chance to leave.
Yeah. So there's nothing to worry about. Look, you say you're worried about him because he's soft-spoken. So what? So what if he's soft-spoken? Maybe he stays off of social media, would you feel better about him if he were boisterous?
I think he's not. You know what I think?
If he were
loudmouth, you know what his problem is? He seems like a nice guy.
Like Stone Cold intro music.
Seems like a nice guy.
There's a lot of nice guys who have played here, and they do fine.
I just hope he's got some edge at some point to defend himself.
No, it's the jackasses that tend to have issues here, because if you act like a jackass, you're going to get called out for it.
Yeah, I don't think it's about being loud or hellfire and brimstone. If this guy hits 35, 40 home runs, no one's going to care.
Okay, but that's never the situation that we worry about. If you're hitting 40 home runs, no one says anything bad about you. It's always about when you hit 20 and you bat 275.
Yeah, but so
what happens then? Yeah, I don't care about when you hit 40.
I know, but the
or
way
35.
Beetle, the way you're approaching this is almost implying that he's going to hit 20 home runs because he's soft spoken. Oh, he's not going to do well here because he's soft-spoken. This market, you know, this market might eat him alive.
No, I think
the market's not going to eat him alive if he produces.
I think there's a chance that J.D. Martinez will have a point where he's struggling, because most players do.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Most players have points where they don't do well.
And I think there'll be a point where he's mashing and no one will care. I mean, I think it's...
Yeah, we said the same thing about David Price. How did that turn out for David Price? It's been disastrous.
Well, he's
and he hasn't
some
been
problems.
That bad. And he hasn't been that bad.
No.
He's had stretches where he hasn't been good.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say...
He came here in year one, won 17 games, and we kicked the crap out of him. That's just what we do.
You can say we. I wouldn't personally kick the crap out of him.
We as in the collective of Boston.
Yeah,
Nick.
I mean,
fans, media, all of us.
I mean, I don't know. I think if you watched Price pitch last year in the playoffs, I think people were happy with that performance. I think people, you know, yeah, he had the awful start in his first postseason with the Red Sox, but all in all, he's been pretty good. But to go back to Martinez, I'm not going to sit here and compare Martinez to Price. Price is more of a Adrian Gonzalez, try to find excuses. We have absolutely zero evidence that Martinez is a guy who tries to use scapegoats and get out of situations. If he's soft-spoken, as a matter of fact, I heard him this morning on EEI saying that, hey, if they boo me, they boo me. I'm probably booing myself. I probably deserve it. So if he approaches it that way,
oh God,
if they
do we
say,
have to go back and play David Price from his introductory press conference, because he said all the right things too.
Again, why are you comparing Price and Martinez? They're two different people.
I can compare them to any player. I'm just saying. I wonder. I'm wondering what that's going to be, because David Price is a guy who, again, said all the right things. There's big ticket free agents who have come here and said the right thing. These deals are scary for the Red Sox. The
sure.
big ticket free agents always have been.
Sure, absolutely.
Crawford,
it's not
Gonzalez,
about.
Lackey, this guy,
yeah, you're being...
Price. These are all they're all in the same group. They're big ticket, big money free agents that have signed here. Some of them reluctantly, and this is one of those guys that I fear fits into that category.
I think we're well aware of the history of the Red Sox and free agency, what's happened, what's gone well, and what's gone bad. I just look at this and say, I mean, you're saying he's saying all the right things, but he's soft-spoken. That's what I'm looking at. I couldn't care less if he's soft-spoken. He didn't deliver the message the way you wanted him to, so now you question whether or not he's going to be able to handle it. I'll see the guy actually play in the market. I'll see him play, and I'll see how he adjusts, and I'll see when he goes through a slump how he handles those kinds of questions before I sit there and say he's in trouble.
We'll find out this summer.
Troop!
We'll
find out this summer.
Well, how about this? What's your prediction? Just based on what you know of J.D. Martinez so far, based on what you know, a little we may know of his personality, does it bode well or does it bode poorly for his success in what is, we're just going to assume that it's a little tougher to play here than anywhere else?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll hit 35 home runs or more, and if he does that, everything will be fine. The personality isn't a big deal. The personality is never a big deal if the guy produces. We're talking about David Price, who yelled at a TV analyst on the team plane with his teammates behind him cheering him on. We're talking about, you know, David Price, who in New York in that clubhouse attacked Evan Drellick. Those are two different things.
Don't forget Ian Brown. Never forget Ian Brown.
I mean, a guy can be soft.
But he produced, too. David Price has pitched well.
I understand. So people got after David Price because of what he was doing.
I'm more concerned about
JD Martinez
slumping.
Is a soft-spoken guy. That's because all we know about him.
I'm more concerned about the turns into the Carl Crawford, where he never told anybody to go bleep themselves, but the pressure of the town, because he was sort of a soft-spoken guy, didn't really work out for him. He hated it here, and I don't blame him.
There's an example.
He comes to town. He wasn't a great fit. They pay him a bunch of money. The owner goes on the record saying he didn't want the guy. He was in a bad spot. He was never a good fit, but he took the cash. He took the cash because they were offering it up. And he went the other way. He became a shell of him, of his former self. His career went into the tank here.
Isn't J.D. Martinez a perfect fit, though? He's the opposite of Crawford.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean,
Crawford
went down to seventh in the order, in the batting order,
that
like,
was brutal.
By the third game of the season. I mean, that was bad.
But
how is J.D. Martinez the opposite of that?
The fans
because
never...
that's what they need. A big power hitter that's going to bat in the middle of the lineup, and that's the perfect fit.
Oh, yeah, there's a need for this guy. They plug him in right away.
Crawford was like excess. They just spent $100 million because they could.
Yeah. Personalities were similar,
it wasn't
though.
Filling a need. He was just load up on offense.
What's worse, by the way, a chronic knee injury or a chronic Liz Frank injury? I'm wondering, is there, because there was a report last week or there was speculation that it might be a knee that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
Now it turns out to be the Liz Frank injury, which has ruined some guys. I'm wondering which one is worse. I don't even know. I don't even know where to begin with that. All right, guy's got a chronic knee. Well, that's not good. See Pedroia, Dustin, Liz Frank. Oh, that's ended careers all sports.
I had never heard of it until it got
really?
Brought up the other day. I'd never heard of Liz Frank. It's mid-foot, right?
You really never heard of that?
Never heard of Liz Frank.
Oh, man. That's a bad one.
It sounded like an alt-90s solo artist.
No, if it comes... No,
kind of like Liz Fair, but, you know, like, oh, no, I always get her confused with Liz Frank. Liz Fair, Liz Frank.
Mm.
Liz Frank.
It's the weird stuff that, like you say, the chronic knee, elbow, shoulder, obviously for a pitcher it's different, but you're right, Beetle. Stuff like foot. What ended up hobbling Shaquille O'Neal more than anything? Toe. It had toe issues. Foot. Toe, high ankle. Well, wait, yes. He's a big, fat blob who never learned how to do anything other than be big. But that's another conversation for another time. Now, I have no idea if it has a better or worse track record than knee or other injuries. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not concerned about his soft-spoken demeanor. Although I disagree with his reasoning, I'm on Nick's side. I think he's going to be fine. And just because I haven't seen anything in his character or in his personality or the way he's behaved in the past that would indicate to me that he's going to start running afoul of what Boston fans want out of a player. They don't want a guy like David Price going to stand up for his team. What, against Eckersley or against a poor beat reporter like Evan Drellick? Never did anything to you? There's nothing about J.D. Martinez that says he's going to act like that, or he's going to go all Johnny Gomes and just be a general jackass, or start shooting his mouth off at the wrong time. No. As long as he avoids social media and the radio. How about this, J.D.? Don't turn on the radio. If you happen to get in a slump, just he's the only person I would ever say this
Best
to.
Best advice you can offer anybody.
Yeah, don't listen to this.
Everybody else, please listen every day. We appreciate you. Thank you.
617-779-0985. J.D. Martinez, now a member of the Red Sox. Rick Nash, now a member of the Bruins. We'll get to your calls next.
Me and David really never really.
I like vanilla and chocolate.
Sports Hub Headlines.
J.D. Martinez officially announces a Red Sox at a press conference this morning. The Sox initially agreed with Martinez on a five-year deal a week ago, but had to rework the contract language once his physical showed some wear and tear. Bob Nightingale of the USA Today reports the Sox had long-term concerns with Martinez's right foot. It's the same foot that suffered a sprained ligament in it last spring. Deal is still for 5 years and $110 million, but now includes opt-outs after years 2, 3, and 4. NHL trading deadline today at 3. Bruins might be already done after acquiring forward Rick Nash from the Rangers yesterday. Bees also acquired defenseman Nick Holden and dealt Frank Vetrano for a pick last week. Last night, Bees lost in Buffalo 4-1. They finally return home tomorrow night, hosting the Hurricanes. Over the weekend, Patriots signed Brandon Bolden to a one-year deal, while Malcolm Mitchell tells Mike Reese that he's feeling great. We'll make sure he's ready for OTAs this summer. Meanwhile, Rob Gronkowski rumors continue to swirl after he sent out a cryptic tweet about the future within the last couple of days. There is no definitive word yet on Gronk's future. Finally, Seas are 2-0 since returning from the All-Star break, beating the Pistons in Detroit, the Knicks at MSG. They'll be back home tonight hosting the Grizzlies. Celtics tonight with Grandy and Max will start at 7 o'clock. Headlines are brought to you by the Injury Law Center. If you're injured, you need a team of trial attorneys who are dedicated to injury cases. Set up a free consultation at injury-law-center.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headline's coming up at 11 o'clock.
Zolak. A little bit of badass, a little bit of salt and vinegar.
Bertrand.
Sorry, I said that weird.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
He'll be in the 3 or 4 spot. I think this is a guy that not only he can hit homers, but his ability to hit for average, too. I mean, the way he barrels balls, I think it was like 492 at-bats, and he barrels 60 balls last year. So he's not only a home run hitter, he's a complete hitter. So, you know, he's a guy that you put in the middle of the lineup, you hit in third and he'll hit in the first inning. So, you know, he'll be in one of those two spots.
Last year, Martinez had a barrel percentage of 12.3%.
How about that? Alex Cora going all barrel percentage on us.
Barrel it up, kid.
Does that number sound low to you?
Yeah, it does.
Only 60 times he hit the barrel and for almost 500 plate appearances? That's probably good, but it seems low.
Wait, does that come out to 12%? Does the math work on that?
Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound low. That's good, isn't it?
Seems low that a guy can play all season and only hit barrel of the bat 60 times.
Well, baseball is a game that's about managing failure, Jim. That's what it's about.
No, it probably makes sense. It's when you hear it out loud, it's like, wow, 60 times all season. So, like, twice a week he gets barrel on ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, how many inches they've got marked on the barrel for him to have that count.
But when he hits it with the barrel, it's glorious. Yeah, that's the
big
point.
Big-time bats.
It's a barrel stat.
Yeah, Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
I could think of a lot more reasons to like this Nash deal than not to like it. I mean, first off, you got rid of half of Beleski's contract, okay? Second, you got a top six forward, and as you could see last night, was very engaged into the game with the two wraparounds, a hit post, and driving to the net. And number three, Ryan Spooner. He wasn't coming back next year anyway. We all know that. I think it was a good move. I think going forward, who knows? If he can produce in the playoffs, maybe the Bruins might give him a couple of years at the end of this year. Your thoughts, guys?
I wouldn't totally rule it out, but I wouldn't also call it likely.
Yeah. And I also, maybe he was engaged last night, but one thing to keep an eye on with Nash is that from time to time he does not seem engaged. So it was his first night. He's debuting with the team. If he wasn't engaged last night, that would be a major problem. Let's see as the next 20 games or so come along and when he gets into the postseason, because one of the questions with Nash is he doesn't really jump out when it's playoff hockey. So let's see if that level of engagement continues here. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, he was engaged last night. Of course, he should have been.
But are we concerned that he's going to be a dog?
I wouldn't say dog. It's just his focus tends to wane from time to time. That's well known about him. So he's very talented. If he stays engaged, he should help this team big time. But that's been a problem of his in the past.
I don't want for it to be a new team that causes him to regain focus. In a perfect world, you'd rather have a player that's just dialed in and focused all the time. But fact is, being with a new group of guys and not having that comfort level will kind of force that focus upon a player. So that might end up, you know, fixing a lot of that. Yeah, you wish it weren't ever an issue, but if it is, all right, maybe that kind of takes care of itself, at least for the first few months.
See, I think people look at his postseason career, and when he was with the Rangers, he would have stretches where he just disappeared, and people have a big problem trying to explain that away. You know, former number one pick, a guy who is ridiculously talented and plays both ends when he wants to, and so when a player like that tends to fall off during the playoffs, it does make you wonder, does he have the TikTok 24/7, 365 to be as truly as good as he should be?
Yeah, he's got 15 goals in 77 playoff games. It's not great.
Yeah, I think it's 41 total points. Yeah.
The numbers are not great on him in the playoffs. So I get that knock. It's a fair criticism.
I mean,
it's not unfair to throw that out there. If you're throwing, oh, you know, he's not going to help in the playoffs. He sucked in the playoffs. Yeah, that's no small sample. That's 77 games.
I think we just have to be fair, right? A lot of people, after this deal was made, I get it. There's excitement. They are better. They are better with Nash. That's not what I'm saying. But I wouldn't just look at Nash and say, oh, well, he can do this, he can do that, and just talk about the good things about his game. He does have questions. The guy's 33 years old. Again, he's been questioned whether or not he stays engaged throughout a season, throughout a playoff series, which is an issue. Historically, he has not been a big playoff guy. So there are legitimate questions about him, and he was in New York. So if people want to say, oh, yeah, but the Boston market, and well, I mean, he just played for the Rangers for 5 or 6 years. So that's a pretty passionate, tough market as well.
Yeah, and I would say he's better than Ryan Spooner. Yeah. So if you want to, you know, say there are drawbacks, there are things about Rick Nash that don't make him what some people want to make him out to be, fine. But he's better, and he made your team better. Your team is better with him than without him. You didn't give up anything. And I say anything, meaning you gave up Ryan Spooner off the roster.
See, I thought it was a slight overpay.
Whoop-de-doo.
I thought it was a slight overpay, but I will say
you always overpay at this time of year. The prices are dumb at this time
right.
of year.
Which part hurts the most of the overpay? Is it Spooner? Is it Pulaski? Is it the draft pick? What do you not like?
I just would have liked all to see them? A second or third round pick. I mean, Lindgren, they have depth there at that spot, so I'm not too shook by that. Spooner is Spooner. He's going to be gone anyway. I do think he's obviously an upgrade when you have Nash over him in the balance of this deal. But I just, yes, it's a slight overpay, but I would rather have the team pull the trigger and go for it than not. Set the tone. Tell your team that you believe in it. Give them confidence going forward and say, no, we feel like we're in a position to win the whole damn thing, so we're going to take advantage of that position and pull the trigger on a deal. And if it's a slight overpay or an overpay, that's what you do. That's what you do to be successful and to be truly competitive once you get into the postseason.
And you kept all your young talent that's on the roster.
Yep.
You didn't give up any of those guys.
Yep.
And you got a good player. You got a top six forward at the deadline. You've added another good player into the mix, and you're not going to suffer in the short term because of that. In fact, I'm not even sure you're going to suffer long term because you gave up a first-round pick. I mean, so what would have – that's a good question. That's a good way to frame it, Hardy. What part is the overpayment? So, Nick, you're saying second-round pick as opposed to a first.
Yeah, second, right? Second or third would have been nice.
So we're talking about the overpayment, and that's fine. Do you want to call it an overpayment, be my guest. An overpayment of 30 picks or whatever when you factor in.
Yeah. But I also look at Spooner, and I know why people are questioning whether or not he's going to be able to do what he's done this year for the long term. But let's not forget, he went from center to a wing, and he seems like he's much more comfortable playing at the wing. So he might end up being a guy who's better than we thought. And so if he continues to play at the pace he's played at so far, I mean, that's a decent piece. It's not a great piece, but I think people look at Spooner in the history is kind of the precedent for him, and they say, well, you know, maybe he was just lightning in a bottle this year. Well, maybe not. Maybe he did find something, and that's playing the wing position.
617-779-0985. J.D. Martinez to the Red Sox, Rick Nash to the Bruins. We're talking about both of those. Also want to mix in a football thought that Ben Volen had over the weekend in the Globe on Brandon Cooks and the future of Brandon Cooks with the Patriots. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Bertrand, you guys do a great job talking sports in the middle of the day.
That's what we try to do here on a sports station in the day.
It's true.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Billy Jaffe will join us on the line at 11:20.
Oh, good.
talking about the Nash deal with him. Going to get to this Brandon Cook story as well. But first, Eric and Douglas on J.D. Martinez. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I was calling first off. I was calling to say I watched a J.D. Martinez press conference. And I like to say I'm pretty excited how this worked out. I'd actually say, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I'd say it was better than the Stanton scenario because it's half the years, half the money, half the risk. I think it's also going to help benefit Hanley Ramirez also when they have against lefties, they're going to be in a better spot. And they're really not in payroll hell with Hanley's money off next year and Sandoval off in the next 2 years.
How do you know that Hanley's money is going to be off next year?
Well, unless he bats like Barry Bonds, he's going to be on the, you know, they're going to play it right, only against lefties, basically, you know, the sit Moreland and for glove in late game situations.
Unless he hits. Because if he hits, he plays. And he could get there. I'm not going to assume that he's gone. Money is gone. Nobody should make that assumption. We'll see how it goes. In fact, if you want the team to be good, you should probably care more about the production from Hanley Ramirez than getting his money off the books. Just the truth.
Yeah. And
which is why I can admit the team is better with J.D. I would not have signed J.D. Martinez. I've been very firm on this all offseason. I would have stayed away from J.D. Martinez. The Red Sox did not. But I'm also not dumb enough to say they got worse because they did it. They're better with him in the lineup than they are without him.
Better with him and better with Hanley Ramirez at first base.
They're better with Hanley in the lineup and producing than they are without him.
And Hanley's better when he's playing every day and he stays engaged and focused in on the game.
And if he does those things and he's hitting and he forces Alex Cora's hand, that's what you want. You want Hanley to produce. You should look at this and say, well, we'll have to deal with that money on his contract next season, $22 million. We'll deal with that when we get there, okay? But if you want the team to be its best version of itself, you would rather have a productive Hanley Ramirez putting up a, you know, career-type year than you would have in Mitch Moreland out there and having a platoon. That's just the truth. Because Hanley's ability as a hitter is off the charts. His production has not always been off the charts. That has fluctuated greatly. So if you want the best version of the Red Sox in 2018, Hanley is going to have to be in that lineup and be producing. That's just facing the facts.
Yep.
And if, you know, you have to pay him next year because of it, then so be it. Nathan's in Fall River. Hey, Nathan. Nathan?
Yep.
Go ahead.
All right, so I want to make a quick comment on the Bruins. For the past couple of years, when Chiarelli was here, everybody was saying we needed a top six forward. Now that Sweeney actually went out and got a player, couple of weeks ago, everybody was calling in.
That was a terrific call. Put it in the Hall of Fame right there. Joe and Revere. Joe!
Hey, guys!
Hey, Joe!
Hi, Joe!
What's up, Joe?
Joe, how are you? I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yeah, I was on vacation. I'm back now, though. What's up?
I had pneumonia. That's why I couldn't call you guys.
Yeah, hey, I don't want to get infected over the phone, you know?
No. I'm feeling better.
All right.
Hey, them Bruins.
How's your bird's nest?
They're starting to play good defense, but they got to put the puck in the net. You know?
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
That's right.
All right, Joe.
You can't win 0-0.
Ha! I love you.
And
love you, man.
One quick question. So, you are the best announcer in the world.
Is that in the form of a question?
I hope they give you a nice contract. You deserve it.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You're the best caller in the world.
Because
turn up, Jim.
You're the greatest. You're the greatest, though. I love him.
I love you. I love you, man.
I shut off the TV and I listen to Zoe.
I shut off my holes in the wintertime so the pipes don't freeze.
I know. I hear you.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, guys, take care, all right?
All right, buddy. All right, Joe. Love you.
I'll talk to you again.
Love you. All right, Joe.
Love you both. Bye.
Bye.
I didn't have the heart. What are you going to tell him that he's not here? Ruin the guy's day?
Well, how bad is his day going to be when someone tells him that?
No one's going to tell him.
No?
No. 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 What, some animal out there, some sociopath is going to now go tell him that you didn't talk to Zolak after all? No. Fine. Let him go. He's obviously not listening. Just calls in. I wonder how common that is. People who are not listening to the show.
Very common.
Call
very,
into the
very
show.
Very common.
And just
more
randomly.
More often than you think.
How many people call in and say, hey, I want to get on the air. What are you guys talking about right now?
Yeah, happens a lot.
Oh, I'll talk about that.
It's unbelievable.
And we
it?
Let those people through?
Yeah.
Is that our policy?
No.
Oh.
Allow them on.
We don't let those people through? Here's a story from over the weekend. Ben Vollen, Boston Globe.
Mittens.
Charting a course for Patriots offseason moves is a number of items, including this item number 6 in the Boston Globe. Try to get Brandon Cooks to agree to a contract extension. So far, so good, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Good with it.
He's going into his final year. You might want to extend him. You might want to, you know, keep him on the roster, considering he had a productive, if not spectacular, year. He had a productive season and was a first-round draft pick. That's what you gave up to get him. That was the first part. Try to get Brandon Cooks to agree to a contract extension, and if not, release him.
Oh, what? Release him?
Talk about the two extremes.
Like, just cut him.
You either stay here for a long time or get out.
Long term extension
gone.
Or you're gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
He said Cooks had a nice season in 2017, catching 65 passes for over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, led the team with a 16.6 yard average. He also had the lowest catch percentage of the team's wide receivers, was non-existent on third down, had trouble getting on the same page as Brady, didn't fight for the ball, showed no physicality, and lacks football awareness, as was perfectly demonstrated in the Super Bowl with his 2 baffling, costly runs. As you can tell, I'm not the biggest fan, Vollen writes. It could be time for the Patriots to part ways with wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Cooks was a
I'm good... still listening. Quit snickering, Cattles. I'm still listening.
Cooks was sorry, a good sorry. Value for the Patriots yes. last year at yes. $1.57 million. I would say he was a great value.
Yes.
Better than good.
Yes.
He says he's a terrible value this year at $8.459 million, which is more than Julian Edelman and Chris Hogan will make combined.
I agree. It's a lot of money.
If the Patriots value Edelman at $4.167 million, there's no way they value Cooks at $8.459. Cooks' contract, the fifth-year option for first-round picks, has zero dead money before becoming fully guaranteed on March 14th.
That's right.
It gives the Patriots a prime opportunity over the next 2 weeks to play around with the numbers without a cash or salary cap penalty. That all sounds good to me. He says they should try to sign Cooks to a 2 or 3 year extension to lower his cap hit for this year. But the offense didn't skip a beat without Cooks in the Super Bowl, and the Patriots already have Edelman, Hogan, Dorsett, Malcolm Mitchell,
Dorsett.
And Kenny Britt. Kenny
oh, yeah.
Britt?
Kenny Britt and Kenny Dorsett. Britt. Yeah.
We're going to talk about, really, Vollen? Kenny Britt. They don't have Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt is not even a person. Oh. Kenny Britt's not even a thing.
Well, he's
Kenny Britt.
Human boy. He is.
He says, plus Danny Amendola in waiting. If Cooks is unwilling to sign an extension, the Patriots should simply release him and move on, even after giving
time,
up the 32nd overall pick last year. Cutting Cooks won't cost a dime in cash or cap.
That is correct.
And that $8.459 million can be better spent elsewhere.
Holy hell, that's terrible.
I agree that's a lot of money.
No, not if, the money. The opinion
no, no, no,
is
no,
just
no.
terrible.
Look. Here's how we criticize, Nick, and you've been with Jones for a while now, so maybe you've kind of, you know, gotten away from, you know, basic, you know, human decency when
no,
it comes
no.
to, you know, being critical. But first you say something that you like, and then you pose your criticism in the form of a question, okay? In Jeopardy Joe Murray style.
Okay, so it's...
I like the fact that he points out that he's going to cost the team almost $8.5 million next year if they don't come to some other kind of arrangement. I wonder if it's wise to deplete Tom Brady's receiving core in what will almost certainly be one of his final years playing the game. Brady's not going to play till he's 50. Even if he plays till he's 44, this is the first of his last years of being a football player. I wonder if it would be wise to take away Brandon Cooks and think that you can replace him with the likes of Kenny Britt. Or even replace him in the aggregate with all these other players that you brought up. I don't think that's the smartest thing in the world. And I do think they'll come to some kind of arrangement with him. You think Brandon Cooks is actually expecting that he's going to get $8.5 million to play for the Patriots next year after the year that he had? Wasn't a bad year. Wasn't a great year. Is Brandon Cooks sitting at home right now thinking he's going to get paid $8.5 million to be a receiver for the Patriots in 2018? You think he is, Jim? I think you're nuts.
Absolutely. That's where the conversations start. In any negotiation, that's where the money starts.
No, is that what he thinks is going to end up happening? He thinks he's going to get paid $8.5 million to play one more year for the Patriots?
Yes.
There's no way he thinks
Explosive receivers get paid that much money. As much as we had issues with him.
Do they get paid that much by the Patriots?
No.
No.
This is the problem. But they're stuck. This is the issue.
They paid Welker for $10 million for 1 year. They don't want to do that either. They did it, though.
They're kind of stuck. And if you're him, what would you do right now? If you're Brandon Cooks sitting at home, what would you do and how would you approach the situation? Let's talk about that coming up after these headlines. 90 seconds, no commercials.